Dr. Jean-Michel Molina, who will present findings from ANRS 174 DoxyVac, an open-label randomized trial to prevent STIs in MSM on PrEP.
Good morning. And do you see the slides now? All right, so on behalf of my co-author, it's a pleasure to share with you today the results of the ANRS DoxyVac trial. As you know, high rates of bacterial STIs have been reported among MSM on PrEP, and we've shown a couple of years ago that doxy-PEP could reduce chlamydia and syphilis incidence, but had no significant effect on gonorrhea. More recently, a number of observational studies have reported that meningo B vaccine were associated with reduction in gonorrhea incidence. And indeed, the 4CMNB vaccine contains OMV proteins and also recombinant proteins such as the NHBA protein that are similar in Neisseria meningitidis and Neisseria gonorrhea. But there is a need for confirmation studies and also to assess antibiotic resistance before full implementation. The DoxyVac trial is a multicenter 2x2 factorial randomized open label phase 3 trial enrolling MSM on PrEP, who had a history of bacterial STI in the prior 12 months. And these participants were randomized first to doxy-PEP or no PEP, 2-to-1, using the same regimen as the one used in the IPA-GAY study, 200 milligram within 24 to 72 hours post-sex. And they were also randomized to receive the 4CMNB vaccine or no vaccine with a 1-to-1 randomization, and they received two injections of the vaccine. We had two primary efficacy endpoints, first to assess the impact of doxy-PEP on the time to a first episode of syphilis or chlamydia, and also a second endpoint to assess the impact of the 4CMNB vaccine on the time to a first episode of Neisseria gonorrhea. The sample size was based on vaccine effectiveness, and we targeted 30%. Participants had quarterly visits with PCR tests using the Roche assay for chlamydia, gonorrhea and Mycoplasma genitalium at the throat, anal, and urine sites, and also had serologic assays for syphilis. Doxycycline was purchased from Arrow and the vaccine from GSK. August of last year, Annie Lutkemeyer and colleagues released the results of the DoxyPEP study showing a strong reduction in STI incidence for chlamydia, syphilis, but also for gonorrhea. So our DSMB met early September and requested an unblinded analysis of our study, and they found a significant effectiveness of both intervention and recommended to stop enrollment of new participants and to offer the vaccine and doxy-PEP to all participants, and that's what we did. So I'll show you today the results up to July of 2022 when we had randomized 446 participants. We analyzed 502. There are very few discontinuations. When you look at participants' baseline characteristics, they were well-balanced across treatment arms with a median age of 39 years. Most participants were white, born in France, with a secondary education. The median time of PrEP use was actually 42 months, and the median number of partners in the last 3 months was 10. This is the first primary efficacy endpoint, looking at the time to a first episode of chlamydia or syphilis with doxy-PEP. We first looked for interaction between the doxy-PEP strategy and the vaccine strategy, and there was none. And with a median follow-up of 9 months, what you can see in the graph is that the incidence in red of chlamydia or syphilis was 35.4 per 100 person years, and this incidence dropped to 5.6 per 100 person years with doxy-PEP with an adjusted hazard ratio of 0.16. We then looked at the two components of the primary endpoint separately, and what you could see is that there is a significant impact of doxy-PEP on both chlamydia with a hazard ratio of 0.11 and of syphilis 0.21. A secondary endpoint, we also looked at the impact of doxy-PEP on gonorrhea and Mycoplasma genitalium, and here again, a significant impact with adjusted hazard ratio of 0.49 for gonorrhea and 0.55 for Mycoplasma. We wish to assess tetracycline resistance for both gonorrhea and chlamydia, and for gonorrhea, in the graph, we looked at phenotypic resistance, and you could see that all strains were resistant at baseline, and during follow-up, we even had strains with high-level resistance to tetracycline with no difference between the doxy-PEP and the no-PEP arms. For chlamydia, we only were able to assess phenotypic susceptibility to four strains. There was no resistance. And we sequenced, actually, 53 PCR-positive swabs to detect mutation associated with tetracycline resistance. We found non-resistance, but only three swabs came from the PEP arm. We then wished to assess the impact of doxy-PEP on the microbiome and look at the rate of MRSA in throat swabs and ESBL E. coli in anal swabs. And what you can see is, during the study follow-up, there was no significant difference between study arms. In terms of adherence to doxy-PEP, what you can see on the graph is the reported use of doxy-PEP at the last sexual intercourse, and on average, participants use doxy-PEP in 80% of the situations. The median time to PEP intake was 27 hours, and the median number of pills was 7 per month. Very few participants discontinued the study because of adverse events. Let's switch now to the secondary primary efficacy, to the second primary efficacy endpoint, the impact of the vaccine on the time to a first GC infection. Again, there was no interaction between the doxy-PEP and the vaccine strategies. And what you can see at the graph in red is the incidence without the vaccine, which was 19.7 per 100 person years, which declined to 9.8 per 100 person years with the vaccine in blue, with an adjusted hazard ratio of 0.49, highly significant. We then wished to assess whether the vaccine could also reduce the incidence of cumulative incidence of GC infection, so we are not looking anymore at participants here, but at the number of infections per participants. And you could see that although the incidence was lower, 20% with the vaccine as compared to 30% without the vaccine, it didn't reach statistical significance at this point. In terms of adverse events, there was nothing remarkable, no serious drug-related adverse events with either doxy or the vaccine. Very few, actually, drug-related adverse events with doxy, mostly gastrointestinal adverse events. With the vaccine, we had a number of reactogenicity adverse events, which were short-lived and at the site of injection. We then looked at changes in sexual behavior during the study course, and we couldn't find any change, whether you looked at number of condomless sex acts or number of sexual partners. So in summary, we have now three large studies showing a significant reduction of STI incidence with doxy-PEP among MSM. We still need to evaluate the full impact of antibiotic resistance on STIs and on the microbiome. We show for the first time that the meningococcal B vaccine could reduce the incidence of the first episode of GC among MSM. In the future, we think we would need to combine these approaches if we want to meet the WHO UNAIDS target to reduce incidence of HIV and STI by 90% by 2030. I also would like to draw your attention to another presentation of the study on Wednesday by Jad Gohn to assess the impact of monkeypox vaccine. And to close, I'd like now to acknowledge the study participants, the site investigators, the scientific committee, DSMB, the NGO AIDS, the ANRS for funding the study, and the study team. Thank you.